Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dax Xavier Josiah, the host of ACMG Presents Talk Time Live, the podcast. You want to catch up with all of our podcast shows and hear from some of the hottest names in all of anime, comics, movies, and games, such as...
This is Miley Flanagan, the voice of Naruto.
This is Stephanie Shea, the voice of Sailor Moon.
This is Ruben Langdon, voice of Ken Masters and Dante from Devil May Cry.
Hey there, this is Kyle Abear, the voice of Ryu from Street Fighter V.
This is Chris Battle, character designer of Teen Titans Go.
Here's your chance to check out all of that and more on TalkTimeLive.com. TalkTimeLive.com provides all of our ACMG content with new and previous episodes, exclusive interviews, articles, and much more. Visit TalkTimeLive.com and let us help you learn to let go, live life, and love all things ACMG.
Talk Time Live!
This is Morgan Berry, the voice of 13 from My Hero Academia. You're listening to ACMG Presents Talk Time Live.
Welcome to the show to give you all the news, views, and opinions in the world of gaming. This is ACMG Presents Talk Time Live Extras. So let's start with your host, Dax Xavier Josiah. Power up and game on.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is ACMG Presents Talk Time Live Extra Select Start. I am your host, Xavier Josiah. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a lot of news to talk about in the world of gaming. Some news involving some possible alleged news involving what's going to happen at E3. We'll talk about that in a minute. We also have some reviews to talk about. One of them is not going to be Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Edition, which is coming out for the PlayStation, Xbox, Nintendo Switch. It's coming out next week. I actually made a mistake and thought it was coming out this week. It's actually next week, so we will definitely got that. I already pre-ordered it, and it's all ready to go. In its place, I actually have Mega Man Legacy Collection, which is the second one. I decided to go with the second one, not the first one, because the second one actually have games that I didn't play before. So I wanted to play that, and plus it had all the extra options and such for that one too. So I went after that, as well as Legend of Zelda Hyrule Warriors, the definitive edition. I will be reviewing that as well. Get to see what the difference is between that one and the one that I reviewed for the 3DS a while back. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. And also two other demos that came out recently, one of which I'm going to talk about right now. Let's get underway, and that's Detroit Become Human, which is scheduled to release tomorrow for the PlayStation Network and all over stores everywhere, GameStop or whatever like that. And I got a chance to play this game. If you know, this is the most one of the most anticipated games for Sony PlayStation of 2018. This premiered at E3 last year. And actually, dare I say, was it 2 years ago that they premiered this game? That they were working on this game? And I think it was two E3s ago that they premiered this game, if I'm correct. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. But it took about like 2 years for them to make this game, and a little, probably longer than that. And it's finally coming out. It's coming out tomorrow, and they actually have a demo for you to play to assure that this game is going to be the game that you're going to want to play. And let me tell you, just by playing the demo, this game is going to be a beast. I mean, the game, for those who don't know, Detroit Become Human is a... it's an interactive, almost an interactive simulation game. It plays on some of the things that were seen on Heavy Rain, as well as the Telltale game series, and combined the two together. So basically what happens here is, it's the story premise, if you will, is based on a world with, you know, a world where humans and androids exist. And it really discusses the involvement of androids in our society and how androids are treated. So you know there's going to be a sociological message involved in this game already. You just, from the door, you see this. So basically, you're going to go through different scenarios throughout the game to, and depending on what you do as an android, determines how things are going to end. And there are so many different scenarios and ways you could do it. So much detail in here that you go about playing this game that anything can happen at any time, and there are different ending paths to this, which is insane. It's like way more than you would expect in a Telltale game, if you will. And it's absolutely it drew me in, and it scared me at some, because, I mean, the tension in this game is fierce. It's extremely fierce, and talk about the demo real quick. The demo, and this demo, if I'm correct, because I played this last night, so I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure I'm right on this one. You play the android Connor, and Connor is an android who is a negotiator in a hostage situation involving another android who murdered his family, that the family that he was meant to care for and look after and protect. Something went wrong. They went crazy. These androids, by the way, are like AI. And this, you know what's funny about this? This game is really covering a subject that's really talked about in our reality, in our society here, with the recent, you know, developments of artificial intelligence and these new robots that are being formed. There are people who are actually scared of this. And, you know, you can't argue with this. This is rightfully so. Whether this is a good idea to pursue artificial intelligence and stuff like that. And this game kind of touches on situations like that where when, you know, you got these highly artificially intelligent, you know, artificial beings that are, you know, going about things, they're making their own judgments. And the bad part is that although we created them, we also created them to be like us, and we're imperfect. So it might not have been the best idea to do. So with that said, we got a situation like this where the android murders the family, keeps, you know, takes the little girl of the family, of the now murdered family, hostage, you know, to assure his safety. Connor has to go in and negotiate and, you know, talk this guy through, or this android through, from making any more of a mistake than he's already made, and he has the kid up hostage. What you have to do is that you go through all possibilities. You should. The idea is to go through thoroughly all possibilities of what went down during this situation. What is his name? You need to gather as much information as possible to assure a safe negotiation and a safety of the kid and everything, and even the android to some extent involves. So the girl's in danger. There are SWAT teams everywhere, and the SWAT teams are mostly pretty much human. And you can see during the storyline of this particular scenario that there is definite resentment between humans and androids. And, you know, just by the way they talk to them, by the way they treat them, the mother, I don't know who the woman was. It might have been the mom, but I thought it was both parents that were killed. But there was a woman who came in, and the android, you know, Connor was going by, and she was looking for the negotiator, and he told her that he was a negotiator. She was panicking because she wanted a human and not an android, because she didn't think the android would be able to, you know, meet the task. And depending on how you play through the game, the android can or cannot. So you have to prove that. All through the game, when you start looking at different aspects and evidence and things, and you really thoroughly look in the game, and they have procedures like detective mode, a la Batman, Arkham, you know, games, that you have to analyze and really look at to keep an eye on things of what to look for by the time, so when you approach the situation, you know what to say, you know what to do, you know how to handle the situation. The higher the percentage that you go, the better the chances of everybody's safety in the situation. And it goes up and down depending on what, like, literally how much you find in that room, what you say to the android that has the girl hostage. It's so intense. It is extremely intense. And upon playing it during a gameplay, I was like, I was going through a lot of emotions, man. This game is just insane. And this is just a demo. So, luckily, I was able to save the girl. The android, on the other hand, let alone myself, that's a whole nother thing. But, not to spoil anything for anybody, but there's extremely different scenarios going on in this game that can really, the game allows you to investigate situations throughout in order to have a better success rate anyway. So, it could go out in any type of way. It's absolutely crazy. After the scenario ends, after the level or stage or whatever ends, it shows a flow chart, a very detailed flow chart of your progress. And it shows you the things that you found and how well you went about looking into that. And there's different percentage rates within those little areas. It's very, very detailed when you play this game. And also areas that you didn't check to give you a better percentage of how you progressed in a situation, a scenario. So although I saved a girl, the flowchart stated that I had, my progress was 40%. Meaning I could have there's a possibility I could have stayed alive. There's a possibility nobody could have died and everybody could have stayed in. So it allows you to want to go back and redo the whole entire thing again, maybe have a different aspect and a different situation. And it was tense too, because, when I was investigating things, one of the cops got shot and killed as a result. So it was like, okay, that put me through a panic phase right now. And I didn't want to see anybody die after the night, so it was very much intense. It's like, all right, do I go after and investigate more and look for more evidence of the situation, or do I go out there and try to talk this person down? And at some point it got me. So now that I know this and I looked at the flowchart, it gives me an idea of how I want to handle things better the next time around. Ergo, there's going to be a lot of replay value to this game because of this. I mean, it's amazing. It's, first of all, graphics is absolutely stunning. It's everything you would expect, from a PlayStation game. It's gorgeous. I don't understand where we're going to go from this point with video games as far as graphic and visuals, because I don't know what a PlayStation 5 is going to do better than a PlayStation 4 at this state in time. Can we just stop here and just enjoy what we got? And maybe when technology gets better, like maybe a 5 to 10 years from now, 10 more years from now, then we can do it. Because I think I feel like we're reaching our limit. What else can we do? Because honestly, to me, the PlayStation 4 is just a little chunk of difference from what the PlayStation 3 was. There are some definite differences there, don't get me twisted, but not by much. And I don't know how far the PlayStation 4 is gonna go as far as PlayStation 5 is ever gonna go, hence when that finally comes into fruition, because this probably is. And we'll talk about that, because there's another situation that came about that we're going to talk about on this show as well in regards to the future of PlayStation. But I don't see how far they're going to go graphically. These games right now are so stunning. We talk about Horizon Zero Dawn, God of War, Detroit Become Human. All of these games, man, these are some stunningly beautiful games. Games that are on Microsoft too. I mean, all those games, just absolutely stunning. I don't know how far we could go with these, but this game right here was just absolutely beautiful. And it was just so detailed. Let alone during the flowchart, you start to realize that the way that it ended was just one aspect. Within this very scenario, this particular scenario, which they call hostage, there are 6 different ways this could have went down. And which means literally anything. It's crazy that there are 6 different ways you could go about this game. So I mean, this game alone, I could keep playing the demo right now and going through different scenarios of how it could end. It could end by people, who knows, because I haven't gone through all of them. Who knows, everybody dies, the kid dies, or I save everybody. It could go in any type of way. They really did say that this can happen in the game during the E3 presentation, and they weren't lying. This is a highly, deeply involved game, and I know there's going to be a huge sociological message to this game, especially in relation to everything that's going on in today's society, so I am all for it as well. As I mentioned, actor Jesse Williams from Grey's Anatomy fame, and you guys know him, he did the BET speech, one of the best speeches in a while at the time, involving, race-related situations and, respect for, our women and such like that. I mean, he's doing his thing. I mean, despite the fact other situations that have been going on, but he's in the game as well. He's been highly promoted to be in this game because he's a big name in Hollywood right now. And you know, this was also the other significant thing about this particular game is that this is the game that is said to be the center of his divorce with his wife. I don't want to get into too many details, but if you know by now, if you watch TMZ and all this stuff, you know, he met the actress Minka Kelly during the production of this game. Minka Kelly also plays the character North in this game. I don't know to what extent that character is going to be playing in this game or what scenario she's going to play, but they met and became friends during the you know, making of this game, which then kind of led them going to a different direction, which then led, you know, Jesse Williams and his wife divorcing as a result of that too. So, you know, this game will forever have a very significant nature and more than just one. But I can tell you right now from my experience, just the demo alone, I give that an absolutely solid A. I am looking forward to playing this game fully. This game looks entirely amazing on all aspects and everything that you could do. If you're looking forward to this game, if you haven't played the demo, you need to play the demo. And I think that you will. And if you heard about this game and you want to find out, play the demo. It's out now. It's free on the PlayStation Network. And find out why this is a game that you might want to check out. Absolutely. So looking very much forward. Not only that, I forgot to mention this too, that if you own an Amazon Echo, there is something where you can actually activate. I won't say the name because I have an Echo in my studio right now. And if I say the name, it's going to activate the name. But you know the name of the Amazon Echo, so you know who I'm about to say. It rhymes with Flexa. So if you ask her or the device to enable the Cyber Life skill, it would allow her, the Echo to help you in throughout the game's experience, to help you, you know, maybe answer some questions, find some things. So it makes for a deeper experience, and I think that's really cool that they did it. And it's not the first game that has worked alongside with the Echo, with the Amazon Echo as well, or Amazon Dot as well. So I mean, if you have any of those devices, and by the way, I would recommend it because these are some great devices. My wife and I, we have the Amazon Echo and the Dot, and we also have the Google Home as well because I have Chromecast. So, and both, funny thing, both of them were Christmas gifts for my wife. I got the Amazon Echo for myself, I mean Dot for myself, but she wound up getting, like, from both her clients, that gave her, like, one gave her a Google Home, the other one gave her an Echo. Now we got the best of both worlds here, and I usually test both of them out. It's hard to determine which one is better because always one does something, the other one doesn't. So, or like Google Home, if you want information, period, I think Google Home has the better information. You know, is way more informative because they use the search engine, you know, information, years and years of that in there. And then also Amazon for, you know, actual Amazon purposes, shipping and all this stuff. But they're both great. They're both great nonetheless. But I digress. The replay value on this game is going to be insane. And I think this is going to be it's already got great reviews so far from a lot of places who had a chance to play the game fully. And I'm looking forward to it. It comes out tomorrow, the 25th of May. And I look forward to hearing what people got to say about it. This is going to be an amazing game indeed. Also, the other demo that's out right now, and we talked about this last week because I was very excited, Zone of Enders, Second Runner Mars is out on demo. Demo release is out for this. And man, it felt like riding a bike all over again for years, which I actually just recently did. But I haven't rode a bike in like 10 years, and it felt weird at first, but it, you know, feels like it's like slipping on a glove again. But Zone of Enders as well. It's like I haven't played this game since the PlayStation 3 when they did the remaster version, and now they're bringing it back out again, and it looks spectacular in this game. They remastered it all over again, updated it to 4K, you know, graphics, and it just looks, I mean, it's still, it's funny because although it came out originally in a PlayStation 2, the game, Was it PlayStation 2 or PlayStation 3? No, it's PlayStation 2. Yeah, although it came out during the PlayStation 2, you know, even back then it was still beautifully done. I mean, Hideo Kojima did a stunning job with this. You know, art directions and everything was great. And it's no different. It looks just as good. They managed to somehow modernize the what was already done and make it even more shinier, even make it more crystal clear. And looks really, it looks very beautifully cel-shaded for what it is today. The controls are still as great as always and easy to play. There are controls that are way more complex in today's standard. So it felt like it was just like a very simple, it's simple in comparison to what games we're playing today and the control schemes that we're using. But nonetheless, it was still welcoming. It was still great to play. They still use the same anime sequences for it, which looks, that was the only thing that kind of looked a little bit outdated from there. The voice acting was always great in a series, in a game too. So that was really cool. Get a chance to pilot the Jedi. I always butcher that name. Ender Mech. I believe it's called Jehuti, is it? But and I'm probably butchering the hell. Somebody's gonna know I'm butchering the hell out of that name. The cool part is, it's like it plays just as fluid as it did before, just like it did back in the day. And I still wish they would bring back a remake, Zone of Enders 1, because I really would like to play that game. And the story with the kid and Viola and stuff like that was touching. It was really touching. I did like Second Runner better. Don't get it twisted. But the first one really did bring a lot of interest to the game. It was all awesome nonetheless. But you get to play a little bit of the clip. It literally is the same, because they had demos of this game before, and it literally is the same demo from back in the PlayStation 2 game, but it's the remastered version. So you're just playing through the whole entire thing of that again. So if you played the demo before, you know what to expect here. And it just looks great. I'm looking forward to when that comes out as well. That's coming out September 6th. For the that is exclusive to the PlayStation. I don't believe that's coming out anywhere else. It's always been exclusive to PlayStation for that game. So look out for that. And judging by what I've been playing too on this game, this is absolutely the only game I am interested in playing through in the VR, because I've already played through the game many a times. But to play this experience on a VR aspect, I think will be actually pretty cool. I think I would actually enjoy that. And that will be the time that my mind will be taken over and probably I die, from a VR threat. So there you go. So let's talk E3. We got to talk E3 because there is some funny information that has surfaced on the online, actually. Apparently, there is somebody leaked. Possibly somebody leaked pictures of notes, which looks like the schedule of everything going on at E3. And this happens apparently every year where somebody does this. Now, I say this all the time, especially when it comes to the internet, because there's a lot of people trolling about things and stuff like that. But a lot of times you have to look deeper. You cannot look at things by... We talked about this before. This is why I'm glad I was born into Generation X, because there are a lot of things that are way more valued now in that era that needs to come back in this era and so forth. Because the millennial generation is just... I could get into a whole situation with that, but that's a whole other subject for a whole other thing or podcast, whatever. But the thing with this is that, you know, they're actually like pictures taken of notes, which looks like it could be the schedule for E3. Laying down all the presentations from Sony, Microsoft, Ubisoft, Square Enix, and Nintendo, all of there. And it's supposedly leaked information. And there's no evidence that this is real or not. And that's true to the fact, because at this time, there's no information on this on IGN, no information on this on GameStop, on Game Informer. And if I believe if this was true, because those three alone are the high, are the top of the food chain of like gaming media. If this was true, this would have been out everywhere. This would have been exclosed. This would have been out everywhere, and this would have caused havoc. Nobody has reported a damn thing on this other than what was seen online. There has been a few like mini sites that have plugged it, but in all, for all intents and purposes, you know, I can't believe it until I hear it from major, you know, platforms that have a higher percentage of proven themselves that they have source. So this is the part that gets me about social media and this new generation today. And I'm getting a grown man, old man mode, if you will, that people jump so quickly to things without researching. If you cannot base your perspective, you cannot draw an inference on things or people just by looking at them or just by reading the headlines of a post. Read the entire article. Read, you know, even if you do read the entire article, even if you look at the news segment, even if you see the person, learn more about your elements that you're trying to look after. Go deeper than the source. You know, that's what they actually teach you in some of the things they teach you in school. You know, especially when it comes to like English, doing term papers, when it comes to psychology, when, you know, for situations like this, especially in psychology, they usually tell you, you cannot listen to everything that is on the media. You can't listen to everything that you read. You have to sometimes go deeper. You have to use critical thinking to understand what you are looking at. What are you checking out? Where's the source at? Because people like to mouth off and, you know, make accusations and assumptions. And until you have such source, you're talking out of your ass. That's pretty much what it is. So, like I said, there was no information on this that stated that this was real. However, with that said, there are some very interesting things that were written on here. And I tell you, I mean, there's a lot of pages. It's an insane amount of pages of information that was typed, manually typed in, to make us believe that this stuff is real. Like, this whole thing is absolutely real. So I'm going to go down the line real quick. It's really interesting. Like, Sony presentation for June 11th, talking Last of Us 2 gameplay, Bloodborne 2, Heavy Rain 2, Spider-Man gameplay trailer, Borderlands 3, Fortnite exclusive content, Soul Calibur 6, Shenmue 3. I mean, these are all things that we want to see. So that's the crazy part. It's definitely, whoever did this, if this is real, this is absolutely awesome. If this is not, somebody wasted a lot of damn time just to troll people on the internet. And that's the part that gets me. It's like, you can use all your energy to do something more constructive. And instead, if you're making a makeshift, you know, list, it's schedule, you know how much time went into this? It's a lot of pages. It's almost 10 pages, like, of information that somebody put in here. And if this was all a joke, this was a dumb joke. This was just dumb and a waste of time. But I digress. Let me continue. Call of Duty Black Ops 4, Tournament of the Ancients, First Blood. I don't know what the hell that is. Overwatch Talon's Fury. Looks like an expansion pack that they're claiming. Let me see what else is here. Fortnite. Yeah, the PlayStation 4 Pro version 2.0. And this is the funny thing about that is his presentation from Mark Kearney. And yeah, we'll see. Overwatch 2, the Talon's Fury, says featuring Jeff Kaplan. So, I mean, they went down to detail. If this is real, this is very interesting. If it's not, this is crazy. This is really crazy. Like, this is a lot of detail. The other significant thing, too, was the Nintendo Treehouse. Like, somebody went to, like, I mean, I don't know if this is real or not. It's like, it hasn't been confirmed whether this is real. But from what I have in this version is that, let me see. Let me scroll up here. Yeah, this Treehouse version here has very significant games here that they're talking, one of which is Punch-Out. So there's a game that's on the list that says Punch-Out, Become the Champion. Don't play with me. Stuff like that. See, that's what people are considered trolling right there. If that game is not coming out, I want to be like Zod from Man of Steel and be like, I will find him or her. Because that's just wrong, dude. That's just incredibly wrong. So, you know, that's one of the things that was spoken of. Splatoon 2, Metroid Prime, Fire Emblem Memories. What else? Yoshi's Flipping Island. Pokemon, the new Pokemon, Let's Go. You know, those were things that were talked about last year and they were working on. And apparently there's some ideas that is going to happen this year. Super Smash Brothers, you know, software demo tournament. So, you know, there's a lot of the other big possible trolling teaser here. Clip of Dragon Ball FighterZ, FIFA 2019, NBA 2K19, Crash Bandicoot, Insane Trilogy, Octopath Traveler, Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus. All of these are scheduled to be shown on the Nintendo's normal video conference that they have every year at E3. So, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what to tell you here. If this is real, this is indeed an awesome, but at the same time, it sucks. Because, once again, somebody can't keep their damn mouth shut and keep us in suspense and surprise. On the other side, you know, if this is fake, somebody needs to get a life. Somebody, like, seriously need to get a life. This is a lot of work for it all to be fake. So, I guess in due time, we'll see. And time will tell if by next week we see something different and we start to see more articles about this, then, you know, we'll report it. But other than that, I call this total BS at the moment. But what it does is give you hope, or gives you like, okay, let's hope that they come out with this. Let's hope they come out with a Punch-Out. The only thing that I am going to predict from this is Dragon Ball FighterZ. It's no way that they can't announce. I would be extremely surprised if they do not announce that for the PlayStation Vita. It's only 4 gigs. I say it every week. It's one of the running things that I say, and is that it's only 4 gigs. I got bigger games on this console that are way bigger than that game, and that are selling it. So we will see. We will see, ladies and gentlemen. Other news. We're going to get to Naruto news. Naruto to Boruto Shinobi Striker has a release date. It is officially coming August 31st, by the way. Shout out to Lady Hokage herself. There are going to be some interesting things coming up in the development of involving that, so stay tuned for that as well as far as Talk Time Live and ACMG. But until then, we got this game that's coming out right now, and we got the chance to see a little bit of what this is going to offer, and I was really surprised at this because I did not know this was going to happen in this format. But it looks like Fortnite, being the success that it is, and it's our real life Ready Player One apparently right now with the $100 million prize for this. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, this is going to be an online PvP style game, player versus player experience, which it kind of turned me off a little bit, because I'm online games to me, it's like I hate relying on online. It's not perfect. At least if you do have an online experience with it, it's like, my internet is great now, but somebody else is usually not, and there's usually a lag. It's never really perfect, you know. If you're playing with people with like two bars or something like that, it usually drags the experience. And then it's whoever you're playing with, it's like, God. Play only with friends that you know, people. That's all I gotta say. But I'm a single player. I'm such a player fan of single player experiences and enjoying it myself. But this right here is going to be an online, mostly online based. There are some actual offline elements, but it's mostly the train. But let's go down the line on that. You get to pick between four different fighting styles, you know, once you create your character. And each fighting style has its own skill set and different, and you know, different skills for you to use. There's also cool, the other cool part about this is that it's redrawn. You know, it's totally redrawn in a different style. It looks almost like the manga style of drawing. New textures, new you know, shadows, lights, color schemes and such. Much same to the nature of Naruto, but it just it does look different from Ultimate Ninja Storm. You could tell. But also the gameplay. Gameplay and control scheme is different this time around too. So it's not totally, it's not going to be totally exactly like what you're used to in Ultimate Ninja Storm, because that's usually a more like a melee fighting game style. This one is more open world, so it's going to require you to, you know, be able to move around free a little bit more freely than you would in Ultimate Ninja Storm series, and you'll be able to do some actually interesting things like walk up on walls and kind of, you know, kind of fly, so to speak. In some cases, so you got that going on. At this time, there's no offline story mode for this game because it's totally offline, but there are offline modes in there, such as the VR ninjutsu arena, which provides an offline or co-op matches to help prepare you for the PvP matches that you will be going up against. So, and guaranteed, there's probably going to be some online incentives from playing online too. So I think that's going to be some of the new gameplay aspect that people, these new companies are going to go after, especially with the success of Fortnite going on right now. It's going to be interesting to see. Ninja Tools shops that are going to be there too. You're going to get scrolls throughout the game, and you'll be able to trade those scrolls as currency to get some items, maybe to help, you know, evolve your character or to help customize it more with more customizable items that you can, you know, make for yourself to make you stand out. The one thing that I didn't like about the game, from what I saw so far, and this is Bandai Namco. When it was just Namco, I usually had the problem with this. But Bandai Namco always have problems with giving you the right look for different ethnicities. Like, all right, let's keep it real. When it comes to black people, like, they finally got it. I remember playing Soul Calibur, for instance. Soul Calibur 3, 4 were the two games that when they came out, they started allowing you to create your own characters on there too. You couldn't really do anything with them, but it allowed you to create your own characters. And the problem here was it was very limited. It was very, very limited to the custom, you know, the creative suite that we all are used to now, thanks to, you know, Yuke's. And how they put together the games for, you know, WWE 2K. I mean, they really kind of, they don't get enough. I think of all things that they don't get credit for is their creative suite and how robust that it becomes every year. And now other people are slowly following that. But still, 2K Games has the best creative suite almost in any game format, and no matter what game it is. Like, the game can be great, but the creative suite is ridiculous. You could just, the amount of creativity you could create within a character on a wrestling game is unbelievable. It's one of the biggest reasons why I love playing that game so much and why I'm so passionate about that game. But you know, when Soul Calibur 3 and 4 came out, they had that, but they were so limited, even to the skin tone part. You couldn't even make a legit brown skinned character. Even though they had the Egyptian character on there, which was blatantly the same complexion as an African character or African American, or more like an African character, because it was in that era. It was in a, you know, during a mythological era and Greco-Roman era and stuff like that. But still, you know, they didn't allow you to create that. And that was upsetting. The other thing that also was upsetting for a lot of Bandai Namco games is that when you do, now you can create a well-appropriate skin tone character of your choice. But the hair, sometimes some of the, not all the Bandai Namco games, but some of the games that you get to play, I'll give Xenoverse a pass because it's their own world. They kind of go about it different ways, so you could get away with it and because of the way that they handle it. But other games, like, how the hell you going to have somebody with a skin tone like ours and have a perm? there's lack of choices for said type of characters in there, and I've always, they always got to me. And I think Naruto, from what I see here, is going to have that problem too, unless you're going to be able to unlock different hairstyles throughout the game. And if that's the case, hopefully they'll kind of, you know, have some redemption there. But that's the part right there that actually bothered me out, because I saw the trailer, and the trailer just showing bits and pieces. So it might not show the entire thing or how much content that they're releasing. And they can always, create more content for the game as time goes by. Especially if people start complaining or, discussing, there's not enough ethnic accuracy to the game. I mean, even though it's fictional, you still got to have some type of accurate representation of some things in there. Especially because Choji's daughter is black, is half black, and she does, I believe, have like Afro puffs or something like that, if I remember correctly. I got to read that manga again, but I know for a fact that she's he married Choji. One of my favorite characters in the Naruto series. He's now grown. He married a black character, an African character, and which I thought was awesome. And they both had a kid, and that kid is hilarious. She's just like Choji to all extents, and she's a really, I forgot her name, but I remember reading the manga. She was like trying to figure out if Choji and her mom was a real family. And she keeps going around trying to ask everybody, are you her, are you the daddy? It's really cute. But, hopefully they'll have that figured out or taken care of as we go deeper into the game when it comes out in August 31st. So I am looking forward to it. I got to represent because, I am friends with the very person that we're speaking of right now, the Hokage. And I would be wrong tonight even check it out. And I am a fan of it, so I will give it a go. Hopefully it'll work. Hopefully it'll be a success. But at least if all fails, we have Ultimate Ninja Storm on the Switch, and I love that game on there. So they're all. Oh, by the way, before I even move on here, they do have so far the two modes that they have announced right now for it is Flag Battle, which is your normal online type of thing. Your traditional online type of battle mode and a combat battle, so it's pretty much a battle royal or four versus four battle royal there. So I mean, there are a lot of cool fun things in there, and this is something that's right up the alley of my ACMG Facebook group, the ACMG Nation crew would be interested in. So, and there's a lot of Naruto fans out there, and so I'm interested. I'm definitely interested. I was just thrown off at the fact that it is an online-only game. And I was like, oh. At least, hopefully it just won't, the one thing I'm hoping, and it looks like it's not, no microtransactions in here. I pray that they don't do that. And that there's no, of course, there's no monthly fee. I'm knock on wood, there's nothing there. That will kill them. That would absolutely kill them at this point. So we'll check that out when the time comes when August occurs in that. So last two things. The reviews of Zelda Hyrule Warriors for the Nintendo Switch, the Definitive Edition, which was released last week. I actually played it like crazy and beat it again and enjoyed it just as much as I did the first time. This time in beautiful 1080 HD. This time around on the Switch, it allows you to have a lot of new additions, some new features, some things that you didn't have, because a lot of people didn't have the Wii U at the time, and those who had the 3DS got to play that version of it, which was had everything except for a few different additions that was on the WWE, the Wii U. This version has all of those combined, because even the 3DS had some exclusive content that the Wii U didn't have to distinguish them to make it feel, different. This has both, everything, all of it combined, all of the DLC, the extra DLC, all in one package in there. And it's just as fun as it was before. This time, they also included Link and Zelda with the Breath of the Wild costumes and skins for this edition. You also have, the modes such as Challenge Mode, which is Battle Challenge, Boss Challenge, Ganon's Fury. Ganon's Fury is a fun mode. It's like you're Ganon, but he's in his monster mode. He's full beast. And you got to just kill a bunch of, enemies within a certain amount of time. And He's huge. He's ginormous. It's awesome. And you just go through different stages down the line. You get new content, you know, and different content, unlock different content throughout each boss battle and such. You earn more money to upgrade all the characters. It's a lot of replay value in this game as well. So I played that. I played Battle Challenge, and that was pretty cool. Same rules, but you're just playing with your normal characters. And there, my fairy mode, which allows you to raise your own fairy once you find them. I have been told that if you find one in adventure mode, which I'm playing through right now, you know, they're hidden probably in some pots or whatever like that. So if you find one, it unlocks this mode. And it's kind of a Tamagotchi type of thing where you're nurturing and caring for a fairy to become your companion, I guess leading to some other cool things that will be coming within the story as well. That part, all three of those features were not in the 3DS version that we had in there. So for those who don't know and haven't played it, the story revolves around the character Sia, which is the main antagonist of the story, who opens up dimensional portals using the Triforce to create chaos throughout the, you know, different versions of Hyrule. Link, Zelda, and along with other known and unknown characters, some new characters, goes out to stop Sia and close the portals altogether. So, you know, they had that stuff. And even then, once you beat the game, there's still some extra stories and challenging stories in there, such as Ganon, who is really... I love playing Ganon in the game because, especially with Infinity Wars coming out now, he really comes off as like Thanos in this game, because he's destruction, terror, and mayhem, as LL Cool J would put it. And as you're going around just murdering people on your way, it's just, he's powerful as hell in this game. So there's a lot to it. If you have a Nintendo Switch now, you didn't have a 3DS, and you didn't get a chance to have a Wii U, this was at one point, before Breath of the Wild ever came out, this was the definitive Zelda game for me. This was my favorite type of Zelda game to play. Then Breath of the Wild came out, and it just went to a whole new spiritual plane with that game. But this right here is probably my second favorite Zelda game out of all of them. And I guess third will be Link to the Past. Actually, no, that would be the fourth, because the third one is the sequel to Link to the Past that came out on the 3DS. That was a really fun game, too. Then Link to the Past, then the Four Swords was a good one, too. So, you know, those are my top five right there. But Zelda Hyrule Warriors is definitely fun and a different, you know, it's a breath of fresh air from the norm of a Zelda game. Plus, they still keep the traditions. It's like, you know, you love Dynasty Warrior, you love Zelda. They combine them two together, much like they did with Fire Emblem. And another great game by Tecmo Koi as well. And this one is also a great game by Tecmo Koi. And I'm so glad that these companies are now merging together and working together to create some really great content. Because, you know, during the 90s, 80s, early 2000s, when, you know, games were starting to come into fruition, we never thought we would see the combination of these companies coming together and crossing over these characters to do these really cool things here. And it's great to see it, especially now we got Nintendo with Sega and Capcom and, you know, Square Enix and all the stuff, and coming together and doing Smash Brothers. And it's awesome. I'm looking forward to Smash Brothers, by the way, because there's no telling what character or characters will be in that game. That is the Mount Rushmore of all video games. Bar none right there. So, if you have not gotten Zelda Hyrule Warriors, the Definitive Edition, go out of your way to get it. If you're a Zelda fan, this is a no-brainer. This is every bit as great as any Zelda game that you ever played before. So, last review I'm going to have, and that is Mega Man Legacy Collection. Came out, did it come out last week? Or did it come out? No, it came out this week, actually. Came out this week. I didn't get both of them. I played through the first four. I love the first four, don't get me wrong. But I kind of already have them on the 3DS. So I was like, I'm not going to really play through them again. So at least I own them in other platforms. But I didn't own, nor have I really played through 7, 8, 9, and 10. So I got a chance to play 7 might be my favorite one. 7 is, it's, the sprites are bigger. You know, there's a lot of things that you're doing. I haven't played through 8 in years, and I haven't beaten 8, you know, entirely, or if not at all. But 7 to me was, I loved it. I loved the way it looked. I loved the character design of it. It probably was one of the best versions of Mega Man that they've come out with thus far. And now, from just the regular Mega Man, not the, in my opinion, by the way, from Mega Man, not just the X series. The X series, I separate that on its own. I'm not going to compare those because those are two different versions of the game genre, of the game series, if you will. So I'll save that for when that comes out. But this right here, I absolutely enjoyed 7. And lo and behold, after the fact that I've already beaten through all the robots before, I just realized that this is a password. This is still password protected. So does the old password still work? And in fact, I'm happy to tell you that if you play through this game or if you still have your passwords, you can still use your passwords because they work perfectly. So I managed to, you know, play through it, got everything. Because when I played through it before, I didn't get everything. And you have to get everything because there's so many other cool things, including Rush, who turns into a new body armor for you and could do really cool things, including like a rocket punch and all this stuff. And he also has a Proto Man shield and other different really cool things that you could do. So this, to me, with that aspect, was really cool. I really enjoyed that game, that part of the game alone. And then also Mega Man 8, which I started playing now after playing through 7. I played 8 before, and you know, 8 came out at a time, I think it was PlayStation 2 might have came out for. I gotta remember that. But it came out during a time where this is the time, you know, we have this debate always online about, especially in the ACMG Facebook group, we have this discussion online all the time about sub versus dub. We even did an episode of one of our first episodes with our first guest, Vic Miana. We did that, talking about that. And at the time, I always said, like, the voice acting now is way, eons, far and away better than it ever was before. Both in video game and also in anime itself. They understand the culture. They understand the ideology now. So they've assimilated themselves into understanding what they have to do to make the most appropriate voice for the anime characters. Mega Man has a bunch of anime cutscenes in there. Great. And this was like, it's special at the time because back then, not many games were invested with having hand-drawn anime scenes in the game. So when you got a game that had it made the game extra special. And in this case, it's one of those cases where you see a movie that you love back in the day, and then you don't see it for like 10 years from now, and then you see it again. And it's like, oh, this didn't age well. Well, Mega Man 8 cutscenes, while the animation and the animation style, the anime style of animation is still beautiful, the voice acting is atrocious. The voice acting comes off, sounds like they didn't hire professional, you know, actors to do these roles. They just got somebody from the company to do the voices, and it was supposed to work out that way, and he just did the lines. And I think I strongly have reason to believe that that's what they used to do. And then they figured out they have to invest more in their product, in their intellectual property, and started hiring, you know, Troy Bakers, the Stephanie Shays, the Nolan Norths, and stuff like that to, you know, do these games. But back then, this is a very Paleolithic, archaic, production at best. I don't expect, it's just to hear Mega Man's, you know, voice in such a way, it's cringeworthy in comparison now. I mean, all the voices, there's no really good voice in this game at all. But I think when Mega Man X started coming out and they started making more Mega Man X games, I think the voice acting got a little better. I think it did, if I remember correctly. When that game comes out, I'll definitely confirm that. We'll all confirm that as well. But I thought the voice acting was really bad. But in its place, the game itself, playing the game, is as beautiful as it ever been. It's a little bit smaller than Mega Man 7. That's why I was surprised. The sprites for Mega Man is a little bit smaller this time around. And I was really surprised at that, because the Mega Man 7 sprites were way bigger. You can really see more detail than you can on Mega Man 8, which is supposed to be like an evolved version. Mega Man 8, in fact, is supposed to be like a 32-bit version, you know, of itself compared to what Mega Man 7 was. And I was like I said, extremely surprised at what they did with that. But, you know, it still looks great, all things considered. It's just, it's not, I would have thought that they would have scaled it up a little bit more to make it look better. But it still plays great. I haven't played through the whole entire thing, nor have I played 9 or 10 yet. I really don't have a desire to play 9 and 10 because they kind of devolved back into the, you know, the Paleolithic, you know, style of it, going back to 8-bit. And I know people like the retro style, and I heard it was great, but it was hard as hell, and they actually neutralized the difficulty level for those two games this time so they can make it easier to play through. Because that was the case. Now, they have, some of these games have legacy modes, and I haven't checked out what that was, but actually, no, I have. That's not true. I actually played through legacy mode, and I got my ass handed to me. So I think as it was made for a bigger challenge for that, for Mega Man 7 and 8. But Mega Man 9 and 10, I was always stunned at why they went back to the 8-bit version. Because, and there's a lot of retro gamers out there. There's a minority of retro gamers out there that enjoy this. But I always like, you can still do the same gameplay and gameplay style and still make it, you know, update the graphics. I don't understand why that was a thing that they had to do. And lo and behold, thank God, because Mega Man 11 is coming out very soon and it looks spectacular, all things considered. And that looks great. I'm so glad that they're reverting back to a modern visual stunning look, if you will. But nonetheless, I still know the game is going to be great. But if you're a Mega Man fan, this is an awesome collection to have. I mean, not only that, the gallery mode is really cool. The gallery mode has an insane large amount of sketches and character design drawings from Keiji Inafune. And one of the great things about Mega Man is the character design. That's what always drew me in. When I used to buy Mega Man 2 and Mega Man 3, and the art style of Keiji Inafune was so great to see, like, my favorite, like, Magnet Man and Top Man and stuff like that, and all these different, you know, versions and robots that he would create. And the way the circular, you know, styles and curves that he would, you know, add on to these characters, absolutely loved him. You could tell his style more than anything compared to everybody else. I don't know who's going to be doing the new design because it's not him, but whoever's doing the new design, it also looks absolutely awesome as well. But just to see Keiji Inafune's work is spectacular. And Keiji Inafune, despite what we know about Mighty No. 9 and all this stuff, he's still quite an inspiration to me personally, because not only just from a gaming aspect, but from a art and design aspect. This is a guy who was he's a graphic designer at heart. That's where he started. And somehow he went into game development, which is a really big transition. You know, I've gone in from graphic design to other things too, other multimedia type of things too, but that's kind of in comparison, that's like an extreme. And at the time, he got in where he could, I guess, got in where he could fit in, so to speak, and was able to do what he was able to do and help Capcom be the company that it is by having Mega Man in there as well. So, you know, if you're a fan of Mega Man, if you're a fan of Keiji Inafune and his artwork and what he's done, this is a great game to have. Now, granted, the only thing that I would give a negative for is that I don't think they gave you enough. I wish they gave you more information on what went down, sort of like what they're doing for Street Fighter, with Yoshinori Ono is doing for Street Fighter, and how much he's putting in an enormous amount of detail of the history of the game, the gameplay, the mechanics went into that, the sprites. I mean, this game that's coming out next week on the 29th is a virtual museum of information of all things Street Fighter from day one. And I wish that they would have went about the same route with this. And I know for a fact that I don't know for a fact, but I know that's not happening on the first version of this game either. So, which is weird. Made me wonder as to why they separated the two games for that and for Mega Man X. And Street Fighter is going to have every single game of Street Fighter ever made up till 4 in this game, which is like about 16 games in there. This, both of these games combined only have four, and you're splitting the bill for that. That's weird. And it doesn't have nearly the amount of content that Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Edition is going to have on there. Collection Edition is going to have in there. So that's also weird, too. But if you're a Mega Man fan, I think you're going to appreciate and love what you got. I would give this, because they didn't have all of the content in here that I would think that they would have, I would give this a B+. This game definitely gets a B+ for me as far as, grading purposes of things. All the games are in there. If you want the first four or the last four is all in there, but I would love to learn more about the game's creation and production and stuff like that. And I got reason to believe the reason being for that is that they would have to mention Keiji Inafune and kind of credit him for a lot of what happened. And I think they wanted to opt out of that because I think there may be still beef between the two. So that's my only solution or hypothesis of why they haven't invested more information in it. Whereas, like I say, Yoshinori Ono is putting all information in there, which they're going to have to mention the two guys who originally created Street Fighter, who went out to eventually create Fatal Fury and Fatal Fury 2 and Art of Fighting and all the stuff for SNK. All that's probably going to be mentioned on there, but they've really got some beef with KG and Fune still to this day. So it's very interesting that they never mentioned that, and that's probably, strategic on air side of things for doing that. But like I said, you're a Mega Man fan? You can't miss with this one. Absolutely. So, ladies and gentlemen, that will do it for this edition of ACMG Presents Talk Time Live Extra Select Start. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope everybody's enjoying this very nice day today in Philadelphia and everywhere else out in the world. I hope you guys are enjoying things out there. This week, this is it. Solo is out this week, and I was going to originally do the episode that's covering all of the season finale episodes, except I discovered that not all the season finales are going to be done. Supergirl is going to be done next week. The season finale of that. Other season finales have happened already, so I opted out of that and waited for that. So in its place, the Solo movie is coming out, so I'm going to check that out. I heard great things about this movie now. They're saying it was pretty much a fun movie to check out, so I'm going to go out of my way to check it out, and I will review it this week on the Prime Show of Talk Time Live this Sunday, so stay tuned for that and much more next week. Of course, Street Fighter will come out. We'll be covering that, finding out how deep in detail that game really is. There are some other things that are going to be coming out as well, and some more news going on in the world of gaming, so stay tuned for all of that and more. So ladies and gentlemen, this is it. All I gotta say is learn to let go, live life, and love all things anime, comics, movies, and games. This is ACMG Presents Talk Time Live. I am out of here. I will see you Sunday. Take care.
This episode of ACMG Presents Talk Time Live is brought to you by Viewfinders Identity Search and Design, your choice for multimedia development for your brand. Visit VFISAD.com and find out how we can make your vision your reality.